Anyway, guys, listen, bow your head for prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the meeting place and everything that's going positive for this Grace Believers Bible study. I remember I having that in seminary. No, you didn't. They don't teach that in seminary. Not what it really means. So, we know that Christ was crucified, buried, and resurrected from the dead on the third day to justify you personally. Now, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. It says something like this. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are what? Saved? Lost. I got a buddy in Op right now. Rick Simmons. We grew up together. Great buddies. But he does not believe that the crime dictates God, or you're not going to choose it. It's just that simple. Ain't no gray area here. You either choose it. If it says, I'm going to send you to hell, you, by gosh, you're going to hell if you don't trust this gospel right here. Get it in your mind to believe the scripture. You can't pussyfoot around and not believe the scriptures except when you want to. Peter said there is no private interpretation of scripture. But my God, you go out of this room right here and you start asking people, what do you think about this, 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 this? Oh, you're going to get, if you asked 100, almost 100 different answers. Because it means it's because it's what they've been taught, and it's also because they're lost. Lost, lost, lost. If our gospel, the gospel of the grace of God, be hid, is hid to them that are lost. What happens to lost people? They go to a place where the worm might not. And the he saw Jimmy over here. He saw Irma over here. Where do you, he saw where any and every one of us would trust the gospel when it was presented or not trust the gospel when it was presented. Now, Bob sings the song. I've got plenty of time. I downloaded those words the other day. And I read them verbatim. Crying like a baby. Because you don't have plenty of time. You're just passing through this place. What if you got 80 years? Is that plenty of time? What if you're 79 and 363 days old and you got 80 years left? You got plenty of time? What if you get hit by a car walking out into the parking lot? Some idiot like I come whipping through there. Bam! Oh, I didn't mean to do that. You shouldn't have been walking. It don't matter who's right or wrong about the accident. You're dead. And you're in hell the instant you die. Ain't no changing it. I don't care if you say, well, you know, the relatives will have to say this. Just for example, Joe gets hit by a car, doesn't it? And I hear him. And his wife said,
I know where I'm going.
Right. But it don't matter if I was wrong driving or if it was wrong because Joe stepped out in front of me. He's still dead. That's the point. You need to make the decision now. You know, I'm going to tell you, you pray till hell freezes over. Unless you are saved, it ain't going to do you any good. Words can come out of a lost believer's mouth.
You need to let the justification do it.
You know, he made a provision for each and every human being before there was ever a human being. And when I hear this, well, and my buddy's never changed. I know in 1984 he believed that. And in 2014, today, he still believes that. The time, I just don't believe all those people are going to go to hell. God does not send anybody to hell. He made hell for his
own. I've been witnessing to that. This is what I've noticed. That they're every last one of them are unstable in their thinking. Paul said to Timothy, he didn't give us the spirit of fear, but the power of love and of a sound mind. This is what gives you the sound mind. And that's the reason why they can't ever make a decision to come here. That's the reason why they're just bouncing around from this to that to the other thing. You got your opinion, I got my opinion. They're unstable. The whole world is unstable. And the only thing that can do it, that can unravel it, is the ministry of the gospel.
Absolutely. Yes, Dave.
And if you can get them to get into the quietness of their mind and see whether or not there is an angst, that angst exists for those people. There's a disconnect to God and it gnaws at them very subtly, but it's always there. When you understand and give yourself up, that goes away.
Yeah.
And that peace, that's the peace.
Right.
You know what I mean? And you get, sometimes you have to get people to slow down and say, you know, you know all the stuff about God, but how do you feel deep down? What's going on in your soul? How do you feel emotionally?
Well, I'm kind of afraid, kind of this, kind of that, whatever it is. That's that gnawing. You know, you just recognize that.
Do this, guys. Go over to Galatians chapter 1, would you? Hey, don't tell you what we're going to do, but I will tell you this. Yes, Jim?
I just want to support what you just said a few minutes ago, one way or the other, and that's in Luke chapter 16, and this is Jesus speaking, this is God himself speaking, and verse 22 of 16, he said, and he passed that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Isn't that a great way to go?
It is, and that's what's going to happen to all of
them. All of them. And then the man, him, and the angels will take us into heaven, or we can refuse him and turn him down. And
ain't so no angel.
We'll wake up, and we will wake up in hell.
Absolutely. We're going to be doing a series. I might even start in a couple of weeks on hell. It's a long one. It ain't just that out of Luke 16. There's more to it, guys. I'm going to tell you, there's different compartments of hell. And but it's in the scripture, so yeah, there's something we really haven't went into depth. It's always taught the rich man the ladder. But if you'll notice something out of Luke 16 and what Jim's talking about, there didn't no angels take the rich man. Yes, angels took Lazarus, but no angels took the rich man to hell. So, I want to write a word up here. Now, I went to bed kind of late. I ate something that just didn't sit right with me. I'm laying there and I'm, you know, you're half asleep and you're not half asleep. Yeah, you're somewhere. And then the phone rang at 10 minutes to 2. Normally, I don't switch it off on Sunday nights. I mean, on Saturday night, because one of y'all guys may need to call me. But I had it on. And some drunk called me up. But I know this drunk. I met her one time. You heard that? It's a her. She lives up Highway 87. Remember that old boy that did some work for you that I recommended, which I'll never recommend again? He moved in there. And she had to call me up. And this is so important about all of you that are saved and myself. This is why I don't go to Brother Clint's church. I'm going to make a point about it. Or I don't go to Jerry Porcy's Bible conference. I took him to her house for an interview to see if he could move in. And I gave her one of my cards. Believe it or not, when you are a saved individual and you let people know that, specifically if you're a pastor, teacher, whatever, you're an ambassador all the time, when somebody finds out you're saved by the gospel of the grace of God, you better watch what you're doing. Because I recommended him. You know, I told her all the problems that he'd been through. I was upfront about everything. And so that recommendation, she accepted because I took her. I took him. So I reaped the benefit of that last night at 2 o'clock in the morning. She didn't cuss me out. She was apologizing. And at the end of the phone call, she asked me to pray for her. And I did. Drunk as a skunk. She realized that. But watch what you do and where you go and what ministries you support. Because it's a direct reflection upon this. And you go out and you go, and I'll just say Jerry Porcy's out of Denham Springs. He's preaching heresy. According to Titus 3:10, he's a heretic. Now, So, just be careful of what you say and who you say it and who you associate with. Now, even on television, I got a call yesterday morning from a lady in Op, Alabama. She'd been watching this television program. And all the men in here that's been to Op, they know her. Good people. She'd been watching the Shepherd's Chapel. Oh, she asked me a question. She said, I know Jesus Christ was resurrected for my justification. She knows that. She's trusting. Oh, but when was Satan resurrected? Oh, what? She'd been in my class for about 6 years. When was Satan resurrected? She's talking about Judas. I had to tell her that Satan entered into Judas, but Satan but Judas himself was not Satan. And so that just caught me off guard. She got all this information from Shepherd's Chapel. And of course, the old man died this last year. Brother Lynn called me Monday. Lynn Sasser out of Hop. And this, he was telling me about it. He said, I ripped the page out. I'm throwing it away. I said, don't throw it away. I want it. I want to use it in a service. And it's the New Testament. It's the King James Version. Oh, I'm going to show you. King James is a marked edition. You ever seen one, Jim? I'm surprised. All y'all can be surprised about this. Good news, America. God loves you. The New Testament, a marked edition. See introduction. King James Version. Now, I'll give you a clue up front. It's a Holman Bible Publishers. Anybody got a Holman Bible in here? I'm going to read you the introduction. This is a marked copy of the New Testament. It is prepared, published, and presented to you as a free gift. Of course, you have to accept it and then receive it for it to be of any value to you. Up here, you must repent. And it says in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord.
There you go.
Oh yeah. Oh, you just can't wait. I can't hardly wait to tell you. Turn to page 220. Let me see what that says.
Where'd you get that from?
Lynn Sasser had it.
Lynn Sasser, okay.
He gave it to me.
So when you get saved, isn't that your repentance as changing your mind when you became saved?
You changed your mind about who he was, but that in the context of that scripture we just read, it wasn't talking about us. Somebody read that.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
That's what being born. Right?
You're not a new creature. You cannot be created as a new creature and be born again at the same time. Impossibility. So, they reference that scripture as being born again. Because, number two, because of your commitment. That's how you know of your assurance of your salvation. Because of your commitment. It's not your commitment. It's the commitment that the Lord Jesus Christ went to that cross for you. That's a commitment. We don't have a commitment.
Thank God.
Because I couldn't keep it.
No.
You did what the Bible told you to do. See Romans 10:13, and we've already read that. Number three, of the first things that he wants you to do. Because of God's record. Read this, Joseph. 1 John 5:11 through 13. 1 John. Now, this is what does Jesus want you to do now? 1 John 5:11 through 13.
Okay. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. That He hath the Son, that he had the Son had life, that he had not the Son of God, hath not life. Okay. That these things I have written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the Lord, the Son of God.
That you may.
May, yeah.
That's not written to us. You can make an application out of some of that. Do half the Son, half life. Yeah, we can do that. That's not written to you. That's not the gospel, by the way. The
tribulations are already pretty accurate.
Yeah, and in verse 24, because of God's promise. Same chapter, verse 24. Anybody got that?
First John.
No.
One, might be verse 24, so try again.
So, I'm sorry, John.
John.
John chapter 5, verse 24. First John. John 5:24.
Where are the other people?
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come unto condemnation, but is passed from death unto life.
We make applications for that. Now, that was the first thing. It had four sub-articles under it. Now, the second thing that Jesus wants you to do now. Second, as evidence of giving Jesus control of your life, I want to, hey, whoever give Jesus control of your life, I want you to read this. He wants you to publicly confess Him and follow Him in baptism. We're talking water now. It didn't say that, but that's what it is. And church membership. That's what Jesus wants you to do, to go join a church after you're baptized. The Bible says, they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And that's Acts chapter 2. Does that got anything to do with you?
Okay.
Thirdly, of what Jesus wants you to do now. Jesus wants you to grow into a strong, faithful disciple.
That's the word you read.
The Bible says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. And he gives references of 1 Peter 2. Now, it says there are four absolutes in growth. Food. Spiritual food is God's word. I'll agree with that. You should read it. Study it. Memorize it. Practice it. And hear it taught and preached. And then the second one, breathing. Spiritual breathing is prayer. Spend time every day talking to God about everything you do. Well, I don't have no problem with that part. About your needs and problems. About family and friends. And tell Him how much you love Him and how grateful you are. Now, there's exercise. Spiritual exercise means helping others. Witnessing, giving time and energy to God's work, and being a living testimony to the world you live in. Well, I don't have a problem with that. They're just mixing things. Then you rest. Spiritual rest means worship, both public and private worship. Rest means being still and waiting on God. It means physical and spiritual renewal. Fourth, Jesus wants you to experience victory over sin in your daily life. The Bible says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. 1 John 5:4. The Christian life is difficult, but victory is assured because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 4:4. Even with victory assured, there will be acts of disobedience and failures because of your human nature. You've got to be kidding me. However, God has provided a means by which you can be cleansed daily of your sins. His word says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9, all y'all know that. So when you sin, don't try to deny it or excuse it. Rather, name your sin to God and claim His promise of forgiveness. Now, He doesn't forgive me. I don't have to claim no promise.
Right.
I don't have to write it down, and I don't have to confess it to Him. I got my atonement. I'm at one with Jesus Christ. It happened right here, AD 33. I was born in 1947. I got saved in 1986. And we're talking about 2014 right now. July, what is this, the 6th or the 7th? 8th.
Whatever.
I don't know what it is. 6th? Yeah.
We're going right back to again. It's the revelation of the mystery. The person who wrote that had no revelation of the mystery whatsoever.
Well, we're just getting kicked.
Yes.
And put this back in
frame, that is.
Yeah, that's okay. Back to the Assembly God teaching.
Listen to this. Now, I told you that was a home and buy. And an introduction in that, but I'm going to put you right here. In the late 1990s, the publishing arm of the Southern Baptist Convention, that's who owns that. That's what we're talking about that we just read. This was a Baptist deal.
I do remember this.
Yes, sir. Baptist.
Herb's got one.
Yeah.
Sally got that down.
I had one of those books. I own one of those.
That's what the Southern Baptist Association, and I don't care what all these other churches, unless they're independent, they're going to be spouting that same line. Or they won't be in the Southern Baptist Association. Yes.
Yeah, that whole presentation sounds so good to people who are not seeking it and don't understand differently. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
That's a very well done presentation. Takes them down the wrong road. They're totally confused and they're no longer justified. I mean, the reality is it's religion, not spirituality. And that's done very well. I mean, it's a good job.
Lordship salvation.
They're called.
Yeah.
I stand by that right there.
Yeah.
If they preach, if we or anyone preach any other gospel than which we preached unto you, Paul says, let him be cursed. Accursed means cursed. That you got to take that to the truth and to the heart of things. I don't care if your friends don't like you about it. That's tough. They don't matter anyway when it comes to your eternal salvation. Your buddies don't. Your family don't. You tell them, let God sort it out. You know, I may have an older daughter headed to hell. I don't know what she believes. I really don't. Now, I'm not going to go. I'm just going to look at in the late 1900s, the publishing arm of the Southern Baptist Convention, Broadman and Holman, was looking to acquire the rights of a Bible translation. So the Southern Baptist Convention was looking to try to buy the rights. You know, these Bibles, all except the King James, and even the King James has got additions to it put in by men. They've all got copyrights. Mine don't have them. Because I got the El Cheapo. I don't have all those notes added. Study aids and stuff like that added. I don't suggest anybody else have one. But that's your business. Because you'll be misled by what somebody said and interpreted the scripture. You ever leave Matthew Henry in it? Oh, he's got a bunch of commentary. Now, they were disappointed with their licensing arrangements with the NIV because they used to use the NIV, totally. And they were concerned about the gender inclusive direction of the NIV. They were not successful in acquiring the New American Standard Bible, so they tried to get it. In 1998, they signed an agreement with this guy to publish a translation. And so let me see if there's anything else in here I want to. It talks about some of this stuff. And it says, in its favor, the HCSB, that's the Christian Study Bible, Standard Bible, is readily available in print and electronic sort according to sales information. Now, this is 2011. The NIV was the number one seller in the world. The NIV. The King James Version, which we use, is the only real true version, and it's second. The New King James followed up to be in third. The New Living Translation, fourth. The English Standard Version is 5. And the Holman Christian Standard, the one that the Southern Baptists got, number 6. Now that was in 2011. While preparing this paper, this guy wrote it, I took a quick look at key baptism passages to see if there were any Baptist influence. Some of the passages are translated in a very straightforward and unobjectable way. I did notice two passages where Baptist leanings are evident. Of course, if the Southern Baptist owns it, you're going to see. If I owned it, there'd be my leanings on it. I'm not talking about a Bible, but my thought process would go into whatever I owned that I wanted to put out there for somebody to get sucked into the program. But, and he said again in Galatians chapter 1, verse 8, "But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you, that which we have preached let him be accursed." Accursed. It's just unreal. I wanted to, we ain't got a whole bunch of time at all, but I want to go into Acts. Go over to Acts, would you? Chapter 11. I thought you might find that interesting, guys.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting to see how smoothly they present it.
Oh, they put it in order of where, as they say, very well presentable.
It's been years since I've heard all that. Yeah.
But they're occult. Now, in Acts chapter 11, starting in verse 19. We remember now in Acts chapter 8, there was a man out there, his name was Saul, and he was persecuting the church at Jerusalem, right? And in verse 19, "Now they which were scattered," we're talking about all the disciples of the little flock, "abroad upon the persecution that arose from Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenice and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene," that's the Jews only, "which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians." The Grecians are the Hellenistic Jews. Jews that speak Greek, preaching the Lord Jesus. Those Grecians that we've talked about before, they had took on the customs of the Grecians. If you studied it in school, whenever I did, we actually had a real school that taught something. The columns and the Parthenon and all those kind of Greek amphitheaters, and all, it's some good stuff. It's a Greek culture and paintings, which I wasn't interested in. "And the hands of the Lord was with them," who? Well, those Jews. "And a great number believed and turned unto the Lord." They believed the gospel of what? Peter's gospel. "Then tidings of these things came to the ears of the church," which was at where? Which was in Jerusalem. "And they sent forth," the church in Jerusalem, right here, sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. So the church went to Antioch with their ambassador there, and I'll call him that. That's maybe not a good but he was a missionary, in other words. He was one of them. He wasn't an apostle for the little flock, but he was so close. He went as far as Antioch. "Who?" Barnabas, "when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost, and of faith, and much people were added to the Lord." Well, I'm going to tell you what, hold on to that verse right there, 24. Go over to Acts chapter 4. Who is this Barnabas? Just a little bit about him. In verse 36. And I don't know if that's, I usually say Joseph, but that's probably Jose. "Who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." And that's what they did. It's a form of communism. And they communed together. The apostles handed out monies or whatever the disciples needed to live, because they were looking for what? They were looking for the tribulation and then the what? The 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. So that's who he was. And you remember over in Acts 9, he took Saul, he took Saul to see Peter in Jerusalem. So this was before Saul. He still had a Hebrew name. Now, so that's what happened. Now, if you don't believe that, back in the Act, hold on to this. Acts chapter 5, verse 14. I want to show you something here, and you can see it. Acts 5, verse 14. And believers, we're talking about the little flock, and believers were the more added to the Lord. Multitudes, both of men and women. Now, back prior to that, it's only talking about men being added, but now it says both men and women are being added. And this is at to the church at Jerusalem. Back over to Acts chapter 11. He was a good man. Saul, our apostle in the future, which would be renamed Paul, was in Tarsus. And we found him and brought him into Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church. With the church. What church? The church in Jerusalem. The church in Antioch. And taught much people. And the disciples in Antioch were called Christians first in Antioch. So Christians was a little flock, part of the church of Jerusalem. Go over to 1 Peter chapter 4. Hold on right there. 1 Peter chapter 4. Here's Peter 4. I want to go to verse 16 somewhere. Yet if any, y'all there yet? 1 Peter 4:16. Yet if any man suffer us as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. What? They're Christians. Peter said they were. That's the church belong. The church of Jerusalem. So they were first called Christians at Antioch. But now you can go over to Acts 26:28 and you're going to see something else. Let's do that. Go over to Acts 26. Now this is kind of a strange thing here. I'll be very honest with you. It is. Acts 26. Go to verse 28. He's talking to King Agrippa here. Okay? This is not something in his first part of his ministry. He had been preaching. Okay, now he was arrested. This is before he goes to Rome. And he says in verse 27, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? Well, first off, let me back up here, and I want to show you something in verse 20. Paul said in verse 19, in the latter part, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but in verse 20, but showed first unto them of Damascus. What did he show? He showed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Repentance. That's Romans chapter 1, where he was separated into the gospel of God, is what he's talking about. For these causes, verse 21, the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. You can go back to Acts chapter 9 and you can see that. They were watching him day and night, trying to find him. You know, there's a man named Artus. I don't even know if it's in here right now. Artus was a king. Artus died in 40 A.D. So you can start pinpointing some of this by secular history. Artus was dead. Well, that's another deal. Now, verse 22, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue, that's a progressive, until this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things. What's Paul saying? None other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. That Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. And that's what people think about you today. That's what people think about me. We're Bible thumpers. We're ultra dispensationalists. We don't know what we're talking about. We've been led astray by Stamm and Moore and all those other people, and Charles Baker, and just tons of people. We're just a small amount. Well, I'm going to tell you what. Now, you can be in that Baptist church all you want, and you could be saved. And you could be saved. It's very doubtful you heard it there. But as Dave said earlier, and I've always believed this, there's not going to be a lot of people saved. You know, the United States has already done things is when we all disappear, very few numbers, I believe, then aliens abducted us.
Reba Novel, right?
Huh? Oh, was that yours too?
We'll get to that.
Now, verse 25, but he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, for whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. That's what he's saying. Ain't none of these things hidden from you. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest, Paul says. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Now this was after he was done arrested. This was after he was preaching the gospel of Christ. Before he started preaching the gospel of the grace of God. Sure was. And Paul said, I would to God that not only you or thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. He's been arrested. Now, because in verse 30, and when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor and Bernice, and they that sat with them, and when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, this man, talking about Paul, doeth nothing worthy of death or bonds. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. Well, he hadn't done anything. He appealed unto Caesar. Because when he went up to, there's no doubt in my mind, the progressive revelation, he got a little bit at a time. And whenever he went into the third heaven in Corinthians, Ephesians 2:11, 12, and 13, because we were strangers from the covenants of promise, aliens from Israel. I don't believe Paul even knew until the Lord showed him in that vision when he went up into the third heaven that Jesus Christ even died for us scumbag dogs, us wild dogs. I just don't believe it. And I'm seeing that the time has gone past. Okay, but here's what. And I'm going to talk about Paul next week. A little history on Paul and Saul. Most people in here have trusted this right here, the gospel of the grace of God, for their salvation. They had love that Dave was talking about toward their fellow man. If you don't have love toward your fellow man, you better see if you're in the faith. You better see, check the Bible to see if you are in the faith. You have peace with God because you were at enmity with God until you were reconciled. See, joy. Do you have joy? I'm going to tell you something. I'll just give you a tip. You do it if you want. When I wake up in the morning, usually before my feet hit the floor, I'm praising God for saving such a wretched soul as myself. Try it sometime. Just see if you really do believe it. But if you don't have love for your fellow man, you ain't going to go out and give you your check. I know preachers who do not have any patience. They realize it. They realize it. They're working on it. Because I brought it up to a few. I've got a lot of patience. You can ask Trish and Carol. Many years ago, I didn't have no patience. Believe me. I was just a very, I ain't gonna put up with it. I have a long suffering now. I have a lot of patience for people, especially that person that called me up last night. but anyway, if you have not trusted in the only way you're gonna get out of this world alive, and I'm telling you, Richard over here ain't gonna die eternally. God overcame death.
Amen.
We trust in what He did and supplied to our account. What an amazing thing. Job, sealed until the day of redemption. Is he going to grieve the Holy Spirit? Yes, he is. Ephesians 4:30. And so is everybody in here. You're not a pleasing person. You're into worldly things. The Bible says set your mind on heavenly things, not earthly things. Earthly things are temporal. So, set your mind on heavenly things. Why? There is no reason since you've heard the gospel of the grace of God. Why not just trust Him? Do you still think that God's going to send people to hell that hadn't done quite bad enough as the other guy. I know a guy who's killed a person. Matter of fact, I know two. One was drunk when he did it, and the other was asleep when he woke up. So, if you haven't killed anybody in malice, if you have not killed anybody in malice, do you think that somebody that doesn't trust this right here, well, just say, let me change that. If you have killed somebody, murdered somebody, and that person saw this right here, the truth, after that fact, or even before, and has trusted this as his eternal salvation, his security, for justification. And then there's somebody in this room, or somebody that you know, that has given their tithes, done everything that they possibly could to please people in the flesh, please their family, please their preacher, please society, but has never trusted this. God's going to tell that person that murdered somebody, welcome, because you've trusted what I sent Jesus Christ into this world to do. And that person is so-called just a super person. Helps everybody, buys them clothes, buys them food, puts a roof over their head, just doing everything in the flesh they can to please, but has never trusted. This is going to hell. That's what the person that not trusted this. There's no reason leaving this room without trusting this right here. He did it all for you. As the song says, how can you refuse him now? How can you refuse such a gift? You've got to reach out and grab it and trust it. That's what you do. You receive it. He gave it to you. Receive it. Trust it. And instead of just say, and you hear this every day. Every Sunday. He just preaches the same old gospel. Well, have you got it yet? If you don't, you need to hear it. And even if people that's got it need to hear it. Yes.
You know, it's really interesting, and I couldn't help but just stop and stare at this for a few minutes here. It says that Barnabas was a good man. And Paul...
There's no good.
That's exactly right. There's none righteous, no, not one. And there was a sharp contention between the two men.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what it is?
It was John Mark.
And John, it was over John Mark that he was accepted, and it was the worth of John Mark. And that's the problem. And he had no worth, nor did Barnabas, nor did Paul, nor do any of us. And that's where we all have to become nothing. Count all our righteousness as filthy rags. And that's how we do that. We even listen to that. And because you think your religion is good enough, you say, good man, he's not good. And the scripture talks about there's none good.
Good, no, God. Okay, guys. Thank y'all.